are. I am I'm going to take a little bit of time and recap. And some may weren't here Sunday morning last time, but as I begin to study and pray even this morning, and I felt this last night, I felt like I needed to continue on because of some of the fabulous nuggets in the Word of God here. And so we're going to start verse number 3 through verse number 6 as our launching pad. And I've already went through some of this in great detail, so I will do a quick recap and then continue on from where we were last Sunday. So in John chapter number 3, in verse number 3, it said, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Now remember who's talking here. Jesus is the one that is talking to a man on a very personal and intimate level. Right? He says, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He did not have an understanding of what Jesus was talking about. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So Jesus starts to delineate here. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. And for those of you on this side watching that screen, I apologize. One more weekend, you will have to endure the bouncing of the words. Amen. So, and I guess I'll have to say that until it gets fixed, or I clawl out there and do it myself. One of the two. Amen. Everybody's still happy except for a few folks. Amen. Praise God. When Jesus said it, you must be born again, you cannot see. When that word see literally translates into comprehend or understand. You cannot comprehend or understand the kingdom of God, the heavenly things, the spiritual things. If you're not born again of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot comprehend all that God has in store for you. And so when a lot of times I know it's been preached, and we could probably preach it that way, that you cannot enter, you're not going to go to heaven. We could preach it just like that, and that is fine. But when you look at the original, and it says, see, you cannot comprehend or understand. And that is very important, because if you cannot comprehend and understand the heavenly things, the kingdom of God things, you cannot enter into literally. Or go to heaven if you don't understand what it is all about. All right? And so in the New Testament, of course, again, I want to just recap lowercase s is not is talking about human spirit. The capital S is Holy Ghost spirit. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If. Everybody say if.
Yeah.
If. And that is a very powerful word. A lot of times we don't put as much emphasis as we should on those little words. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Amen. Now, if any man have not. Everybody say have not. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, the scripture said, you are, he is none of his. So, what do we want to do? We want to make sure that we have the Spirit of God. And just for those of you that may get a little bit anxious with me right there, I want to tell you, I want you to make sure that you have the Spirit of God. I can't give you the Spirit of God. Nobody can do it but God himself. But if you have a question in your mind, do I have his Spirit? I'm going to preach to you today and answer that
question according to the Word of God. Not according to seminary, not according to what somebody else said, but according to the Word of God.
Man.
Verse number 11 said, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken you. The word quicken means give you spiritual power, or to arouse or invigorate. His Spirit gives us new life. Amen. So we have the word quickened. Quicken our mortal bodies. It gives us the idea and the understanding that this is new life. It is spiritual power. It is invigorating. That's why when people get the Holy Ghost, there's some excitement that happens to them. Go ahead, Gwen. Amen. Isaiah 32 and 15 said, until the Spirit be poured out or poured upon us from on high. The scripture here referring high as heaven. The wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Verses 19 through 14 talked about life without the Spirit of God. But here is a prophecy. Remember what the title is. The Holy Ghost, both prophecy and fulfillment. This is a prophecy that the Spirit would be poured out from on high. Amen. And that when it was, the wilderness would become fruitful. Amen. So your life may be desolate and empty, but when the Holy Ghost, when the Spirit of God comes into your life, he makes you a fruitful place. You are no longer a desert land. You are no longer inadequate. You are very much adequate now, because the Holy Ghost comes with power. Ezekiel chapter number 36, verse 26. I know I'm going fast, but remember, this is just a recap, and then we'll get into the meat of, or some more meat as we go along. A new heart will I also give you. A new spirit will I put within you. Everybody say within.
Within.
Amen. It's going to come on the inside. It's not something that somebody's going to tell you how to get to. It's not somebody that you can give it to, or somebody can give it to you or teach you how to do it. But it's going to be by the Spirit of God. He said, I will take away your stony heart and put out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh. In other words, give you a tender heart, something that I can mold, something that I can make, something that I can use. So again, what we talked about just a little bit ago, he can turn and give you you give him something that's nasty, a stony heart, and he gives you a heart of flesh. He gives you something that he can mold and make and turn into something beautiful. Amen. And verse 27, it said, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. That word cause, he's going to give you a purpose. He's going to give you the ability. A lot of times people say, well, I just can't do this, or I just can't do that. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of things that I can't do. I can't keep myself from sin. I can't keep myself from those worldly things without the Holy Ghost. Well, I just can't stop doing this. I know it's wrong, but I can't stop. That's why we need the Holy Ghost, because it causes us to walk in his statutes. It gives us this miraculous ability, amen, that normally we don't have the ability to say no to sin. So he gives us his Spirit so we can say no to sin. All right? Amen. Now we go on a little bit further. Joel chapter number 2 and verse 28, again another prophecy, and it shall come to pass afterward. I, God speaking here, I will pour out his Spirit. It is not somebody else and some third person in the Trinity. Remember, the word Trinity is not even found in your Bible. That word is not even there. So take note of that. When somebody preaches about some Holy Trinity, I want to tell you, it's not founded in the Word of God. God said, I will pour out my Spirit. Not somebody else's Spirit. Not some third person up there somewhere out there in the universe. But I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Everybody said all.
All.
That means everybody. It is the will of God for everybody. everybody to receive this power, this supernatural experience with God. Amen. It is the will of God. Did I say it's the will of God for every one of us to be filled with His Spirit? That's His will. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4. It said, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Amen. The promise of the Father was that He would baptize His church, His body, His bride, His people. He would baptize them. Don't forget that the word baptize is to completely submerge. I'm going to tell you today that Jesus does not just want to take His Spirit and just sprinkle a little bit of pixie dust on you. Come on. It's not some little fairy dust that He wants to sprinkle some magic potion on you, but He wants to be on the inside of you. We already read that of the old scripture in Joel and Ezekiel and in Isaiah. He wants to be on the inside of us, and that's what we need. It's not just some little touch every once in a while, but God wants to go with you everywhere you go. He wants to be with you in every place that you go. He doesn't want to leave you. He doesn't want to forsake you. He wants to live on the inside of you. And that's what's wrong with our denominational world today, is we come and we have a little session with Jesus at church, but we go out and we're not changed. I'm here to tell you today that I know the beating of people's hearts. You want to change. You want something that is real. You want something that you can feel. And the reason why some of you are back here again this morning is because you feel something different that you haven't felt anywhere else. And I'm telling you, it is the power of Almighty God. It's not my preaching. It's not our singing. It's not our abilities or our talents. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And you say, man, I want that. I want that. It's something different. It's something real. I feel it as it goes up and down the back of my spine.
It's already turned. I gotta hurry.
Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. The scripture said, but ye shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Ye shall receive power. Say, I'm gonna receive power.
I'm gonna receive power.
A lot of times say, oh, well, they did and they did. No, that's not what the Bible said. It's for you. Look at your neighbor, say it's for you.
It's for you.
Come on, look at your other neighbor, it's for you.
It's for you.
Yeah. This Holy Ghost power is for you. You.
Hallelujah. Okay. Yep.
It is for you. Amen. A lot of times we push it up. Well, that's just for them. And that's just for them. And that's just... No. The Bible said it is for you. This Holy Ghost is going to give you power. Amen. That power is... Listen to the word. Listen to the definition. It means miraculous ability, abundant strength, power to perform miracles, moral excellence of the soul. Woo! Oh God, do you get that today? God wants to fill you with a miraculous ability, a supernatural ability that you say, well, I don't want to do these drugs. I don't want to go out and drink. I don't want to go out and waste my money on gambling. I'm tired of going from relationship to relationship. I know I'm looking for love, but I'm tired of bouncing from woman to woman or from man to man. I'm tired of all this stuff constantly, all the time. I need something. I'm going to tell you what you need today. You need some miraculous ability of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will give you a satisfaction and a peace like nothing else in this world. You can try the drugs, you can try the relationships, you can try all of it, you can drink every mixed drink concoction that you want, but there ain't nothing that's going to give you a buzz like the Holy Ghost buzz. Amen. There ain't going to be nothing that will fill you up and give you such satisfaction like the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Yes, sir. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Mark 16 and 6 said, he that believeth. Is there any believers here today? Does anybody believe this? Amen. And he's baptized. You see, you can't just believe and be saved. I know that that is a doctrine of our society, our religious and communal world today. But I'm telling you today, that word "and" is powerful. You must be baptized. You must be baptized. You can't. Oh, I'm going to tell you what. I love it when you shake my hand, but there ain't nothing in the power of these hands. I don't got anything to save you. I in myself, I have nothing to. This does not save you by shaking a preacher's hand and a preacher saying a few words over you. And even though I even use this term, even here today, tell your neighbor this and tell your neighbor that. Just repeating after the preacher does not save you. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And these signs shall follow them that believe. There are some things that are going to happen when you believe. And one of them is you shall speak with new tongues. You're going to speak a heavenly language. Can I get a witness from some believers that have experienced that today? Amen. Okay, so now we come to that top part where it says who and where from. John chapter 14 and verse number 26. But the Comforter. All right, here's where we start. Here's where we left off last time. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So I want to make sure that we understand this. The Comforter and the Holy Ghost are synonymous, correct?
Right.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He, who is he? He shall teach you all things. Who is he? He is referring to, who do we start out with? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. We're starting out from the beginning, right? It's delineating. It's making sure we understand who this is. He shall teach. Who's going to teach? The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So, when we don't know what to do, when you get the Holy Ghost, Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, will go bing. You'll have a little text message go off, except it won't be in your pocket. It'll be in your brain. It go ding, ding, or whatever yours is. Whatever it is. Okay? When you have the Spirit of God, when you get the Holy Ghost, he's going to teach you all things. And he will bring all things unto your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he said, if you get this Holy Ghost, not if you get this Holy Ghost, I shouldn't have said it like that. When you get this Holy Ghost, I'm going to teach you. And that's why people walk around in religion today and they don't know anything. They don't understand. They don't comprehend. It doesn't make sense. And so, but what do they do? Because we've been told over and over and over again, you need to go to church. You need to go to church. You need to go to church. Guess what I'm going to say about that?
Amen.
There's never been a church that has ever saved anybody.
That's right.
I said there has never been a church that has ever saved anybody. And you're listening to a preacher right now that absolutely hates and cannot stand religion. Because religion has destroyed people throughout the centuries. Religion is not what this is about. It is an R word. And it's about relationship. It goes all the way back to the beginning, from the Garden of Adam and Eve, where God wanted to have a relationship with his creation. He wanted to talk. He wanted to walk. He wanted to laugh. He wanted to have a... He wanted to enjoy the presence and the company with his creation. But sin came in and wiped that away. Sin came in and wiped the microphone away. Sin came in and destroyed that relationship. And so what has God's plan been ever since? God's plan ever since has been, I got to get reunited with my creation. And so he made all of these laws. Go through Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. Go through all that. And he'll tell you, kill this for that. And take the blood of this and do this with that. And put this on the altar and do this and do that. He gives all this stuff. And everybody's like, oh man, this is so tough. This is so hard because I just can't live like this. This is difficult. And so they go through all the Old Testament and God is refining everything. He says, you know what? I'm going to robe myself in flesh and I am going to come down and I'm going to understand what they feel. I'm going to understand all of the things that come their way, the difficulties, the temptations, all of that stuff. I'm going to robe myself in flesh and I am going to come as a man, and I am going to be the ultimate sacrifice. I am going to sacrifice my life on Calvary's cross. It's not going to be the blood of bulls and goats any longer, but I am going to come, and I'm going to hang on that tree, and I am going to shed my blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
Come on. Amen. Amen. And so this Holy Ghost, when we don't understand, when we don't know, when we have no direction, God starts to bring things to your remembrance. And you get to, well, I'm just going to use it like that because we're in a tech world today. Ding, ding, ding. And you look at that text message and say, I wouldn't do that if I was you.
Right.
Really? Ding, ding. Yes. Got it.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Holy Ghost will teach you. Don't say that.
Ding, ding. Don't say that. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Jesus. Now, I know I'm being a little bit humorous, but I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to get you to realize that with the power of the Holy Ghost, you say, well, I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to do this. And so all of those questions become answers with the power of the Holy Ghost, because the scripture said, I will. He will teach you all things.
Yes.
He's going to lead you and guide you, give you wisdom, give you understanding of that which you did not once have. Now, oftentimes I understand there's a little bit of confusion and people seem to get hung up here. It said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost whom the Father will send in my name. They go, wait a second, who's the Father? How's this work and all that? Da, 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 da. The Father sends the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name to teach you all things. Old Testament, I want you to think of it like this. Every time Old Testament is referred, it's often referred as the Father. The Father. You know why? Because it was an ideology that they only had of the Old Testament. Father, if you can start to do it like this, and think of it in this form. Think of it in this form. That it is Father, and think heavenly. Because when they talk to God, they talk to the heavenlies. They didn't have a tangible. They couldn't see. They couldn't touch God. So he was in the heavenlies. And so Jesus was just trying to bring this all together to get them to understand that in an Old Testament, because remember what we're doing here today, we're talking about prophecy and fulfillment. Prophecy and fulfillment. Who and where from, okay? So we're still talking about the Holy Ghost. We're still talking about Jesus. When he's referring to Father, he's only referring to heavenly presence. I'm going to give you another setting of scripture to bear in mind with that. He talks to Nicodemus, and he didn't fully understand. He said, but I don't understand this. And even Jesus said, you being a ruler of the Jews, how can you be a ruler? How can you be a teacher like you are and not understand what I'm talking about, being born again of water and of spirit? If I talk to you things that are fleshly, you seem to get it. But when I take you up into the heavenlies, you don't understand. And this is what we're talking about. He's taking us beyond this flesh and saying that we're not talking about a comforter that you put on your bed. Right. We're talking about a spiritual matter of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the Spirit of God and whom the Father will send. Okay, is all we're going to do is we're going to say, whom the heavens will be opened up to and will be given to us. All right? Does that make sense a little bit better now?
Yes.
Jesus said, I will send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Ghost. He also mentions here in John 15 and 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth. Who is the Spirit of Truth? That Spirit of Truth, again, comes back to the Comforter, which proceedeth from the Father or from the heavenlies. He shall testify of me. The glory of God, the power of God will testify of him. All right? So when we're talking about that, I just want you to think of Father. When he's referring that, he's referring the heavenlies. And you're going to see how this is all going to tie together here in just a moment. John 16 and 7 said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Who's going to send it? Who's going to send the Comforter?
Jesus.
Who's going to send the Comforter?
Father.
But the last scripture said the Father was going to send the Comforter.
Right.
Yeah. So is somebody lying? Or are they synonymous? One and the same.
Come on.
They're one and the same. Because Jesus said, I will send him unto you. I know the last setting of scripture, Jesus said, the Father will send. Because there's no confusion. He's only referring as Father as being a heavenly situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay? So Jesus is the one that is going to send the Comforter. It is going, we already know it's going to be his Spirit, right? We know he's going to be the Comforter. He's going to be the Spirit that's going to come. And then he says right here, I'm going to send it to you. So there's no confusion of who we're talking about. We're just still always talking about Jesus. But when he refers to the Father, it's always in a heavenly manner because...
Bless the Lord.
You got to remember this. We're not in the New Testament yet. We're still dealing with the Old Testament will of God. We're still in the Old Testament. So he's talking to an audience that only knows God from a distance.
Right. Yes.
Got it?
Yep.
They only know God from a distance. But Jesus is standing there, God in flesh, robed himself in flesh, and he said, I come to take care of this. Once and for all, I'm going to abolish these blood sacrifices. I'm going to become the ultimate sacrifice. And then when I go, when it's all said and done, when I'm out of here, I'm going to send my Spirit back to you so you're not going to be alone. You're not going to see me anymore, flesh and blood, but now I'm going to come back in spirit form and live on the inside of you.
Some people say, man, I wish I could have lived in Jesus' day.
I'm going to tell you, I would never want to live in Jesus' day. I would never want to live in the Old Testament. They did without so much that we are afforded today.
Right.
We have so much more than any of Old Testament people, all of them put together.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
I got to move on. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will what?
Die.
Did the last scripture say he will teach you?
Yes.
Right. So now, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to live. I don't know how to act. I don't know how to talk. I tell you the reason why you don't know how. I tell you the reason why you struggle with that on a day-to-day basis. It's because that Spirit of Truth, that Holy Ghost, that Comforter that he's going to send to you, he's the one that's going to guide you. So that's why you can't live godly. That's why you struggle living soberly. That's why you struggle living righteously, because you don't have his Spirit.
That's right.
Okay? And I'm not telling somebody that doesn't have his Spirit, you got to answer this question because it's about you and God's relationship, not your and my relationship.
Yeah.
Don't forget, don't get mad at the mailman because he brought you a charge card that you charged up.
Yeah.
You get mad at yourself because you charged that charge card up, and now you're stressing out how to pay for it. Don't get mad at the mailman. Guess what? I'm just your mailman today. I'm not telling you whether you do or whether you don't. You have to decide. You have to understand. You have to see, where is my relationship with God? Do I really have the Spirit? Do I really have this Comforter? Why am I so upset? Why am I so frustrated? Why do I feel like I'm always lost and I'm always wondering which way to go? I'm going to tell you today, that's where the power of the Holy Ghost comes in. And he leads and he guides and he teaches you. you. And he could, oh God, there's so many things. But even those people, oh, can I get a witness here on this one? Even those of us that have the Holy Ghost, when we're not full of the Holy Ghost, when it is not resonating in us, we also struggle. And what do we got to do? We got to go back and we got to get the Spirit flowing and moving in us again, because we are struggling, because this Spirit is not a dead spirit, but it's alive and it's active. It's breathing, it's moving, it's in us continually.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Thank you.
All right. I know. I'm sorry. I got to slow down just a little bit. Where are we? Oh, wait a second. We got to go back. I got to say one thing right here. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever, he shall hear, and that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. He's even going to give you some understanding of the things that are out in front of you that you would have no idea of.
Right.
Wow, what a deal. What a deal. So I don't want somebody to try to teach me how to speak in tongues.
Right.
Don't tell me try, because that's fleshly. That's carnal. That's manly.
Right. Yeah.
When I say manly, not muscle, but manly. That's fleshly, carnal. Got it? Okay.
Right.
But I don't want that. I want something that's supernatural.
Right.
I want some real superpowers.
Right.
I want something that nobody... Oh, God, help me, Jesus. All right, so we got to go on. He will shew you all the things to come. He will, or he shall glorify me. Look at that. He shall, who's going to glorify him? The Spirit of truth. Who's the Spirit of truth? The Comforter, the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is going to glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shew it unto you. What does that glorify mean, preacher? What is that talking about? Glorify me. Glorify in this text means to make manifest or reveal his true role. Oh, hallelujah. So what did he say? He said, to glorify me. He shall glorify me. I want you to understand that the Holy Ghost to come on the inside of you is to reveal to you. To reveal to you, to make manifest to you of who I am and what I can really do for you. When we just take Jesus at face value, we don't really understand the power that he has afforded us. Yeah. But when the power of the Holy Ghost comes in, boom, all of a sudden we realize, wow, there's things that I didn't know. There's things that I didn't understand. There's a power that I have that I didn't have before. There's something that's happened to me, that there is such a supernatural change in my life.
Right. Holy Ghost reveals Jesus in you.
Uh-huh. Right.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's why 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16 said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Say, well, I don't understand all of that. But when you get the Holy Ghost, you understand who God is. You understand the dynamics of the Spirit of God. And that's why you hear this preacher constantly say, oh, there's nothing greater. Why? Because the things that you didn't understand through the power of the Holy Ghost, your eyes are opened and you understand, whoa, that's so exciting. We've got folks here right now today that have texted me and then have said, oh, look at this scripture and look at that scripture, Pastor. Did you see this before? And I just got to smile when I see the text, because I go, yeah, brother, you got it. Yeah, sister, you got it. You understand it. You see it. Yes, God's revealing that to you. And it's because of the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost that now Jesus isn't just somebody that you go and worship every month on Sunday, but Jesus becomes alive. He becomes real. He becomes your all in all. He becomes the lily of your valley. He becomes your bright morning star. He becomes your strong and mighty tower. He becomes your provider. He becomes your deliverer. He becomes your peace and your joy and your salvation. Jesus becomes everything.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
In the last day, great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried,
Say, if any man thirst, is there anybody thirsty? Yes, I am. If any man is thirsty, let him come and drink. I want to know something about this. What about this, Jesus? What about this Holy Ghost? There's some of you that are sitting here today that I understand you may have never, ever, ever, ever heard a crazy preacher like you're hearing right now. Right, and you're going, right. Why do you say right for?
Right, saying I'm crazy, I guess.
If any man thirst, you know what? What is it about what I'm feeling? What is it about what I don't understand all this. And I've heard a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but some of this is starting to make some sense here. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, not just believe and said a little sinner's prayer, but as the scripture said, out of his belly. There's something supernatural that begins to happen. It's not just I accepted him as my Savior. What about him accepting you?
Yes, sir, you're right.
What about him coming and living on the inside of you? And this isn't, well, because I can just accept him.
Right.
And he can accept me, but there'd be absolutely no relationship between us.
Right.
There'd be absolutely no relationship. Just because I accept him and he accepts me doesn't mean that we have a relationship. Doesn't mean that we have a friendship. I'm going to tell you that the Holy Ghost wants to live on the inside of you because he wants to have a close, intimate relationship with you, to lead you and guide you into all truth and all paths of righteousness, to give you understanding that you did not have before. So what do you say? Well, you go, we got all this, and what about all this? Forget about all that. What you need is the power of the Holy Ghost,
right.
And then all of this and all of that and all that, it will start to make sense. So out of his belly, out of the innermost being, out of the depths of an individual's soul, shall flow, not maybe, but it will be a supernatural happening. It's not going to be, well, if you get the Holy Ghost, you might do or you might feel. No, everybody that I have ever, ever, ever talked to is something just, and they go, and a lot of times they don't know what to say, so they just go. They got these hand gestures that I can't put it into words. I don't really understand what's going on, but something happened, and they always point to their insides, because he wants to come and live on the inside of you. And once what was desolate, once that what was on the inside was empty, the Holy Ghost comes in and fills that empty spot. Amen. And something supernatural happens there. Can you go, something on the inside changed on in me? I don't feel the same way that I used to feel. Something happened here.
Yes.
He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he in the Spirit. Remember, we're still Old Testament. Say, John, that's New Testament. Still Old Testament, all right? I don't have time to go there. But it's really still Old Testament because Jesus hasn't died. Really, when the New Testament kicks in is after Jesus' death.
Right.
A new will cannot be implemented unless the tester has died.
Right.
Unless the one who wrote the will has died.
Right.
My kids don't get an inheritance. Well, even if I did, they don't get nothing. So don't pray for me to die. I'm worth more alive. But you understand, I can write this will, but the will cannot. I can give them everything right now. I can say it in the will, but they don't get it until I'm dead.
Right.
And so Jesus is talking about this spirit he's going to give, this living water that's going to flow out of you. And he said, you're going to get all this stuff, but you don't get it yet. Not yet, because I have not been glorified. Which they that believe on him should. Everybody say should. Should receive. Amen. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given up because Jesus was not yet glorified. Stay right there for one more second, honey. Amen. I got one thing that I want to say here, and that is this word should. Should means that they will. Just not to time yet. Opposed to the way we say it now, you should. As if it is some good idea. You should do this. You should do that. Ever been told that? You should do that. This is a good idea. You should do. Anybody ever told that before? Yeah, of course we all have. And you go, huh? So you make the choice. I don't want to do that. I don't like that idea. I don't want to do it that way. Well, this isn't an idea. This isn't a, well, you should. You should at least consider. No, this is you should or you shall. You will get the Holy Ghost. There is going to be a supernatural experience. And for those that have been in the religious world and they say, well, I tried this religion and I tried that religion and I tried this one and this one and I felt nothing. But something is a little bit different here. And you should be filled with the Holy Ghost. Right. Because there is something different. Amen. It is not a religion. It is a relationship that Jesus is so interested in having with you. Verse, one more scripture there before we go. And because this is so good and I need to say it right here. And these all having obtained a good report. When we talk about prophecy, when we talk about the days of old, because we're switching into the fulfillment here in just a moment. That the scripture said, all this is going to happen. Man, don't you get tired? Somebody say, yeah, I'm going to be there. And they don't show up, 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 and they don't show up. So what do you finally do?
You quit on them, right? And when they tell you the next time I'll be there, you go, yeah, whatever. Right? Because they're not true to their word.
But I'm going to tell you that ain't the way Jesus is. He said when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to get power. And furthermore, not when you get the Holy Ghost or if you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to get it. You're going to get it when you do it according to my plan, according to my will. It's going to happen for you. So Hebrews 11:39 said, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of the men of old, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel, all of them, they didn't receive the promise. For verse 40 said, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Got it? So now we got the Old Testament prophecies going on. And we've got this young whippersnapper by the name of Dakota. And Dakota comes and he links arms with Abraham. Link arms with Abraham. There's Abraham there. Okay? Now I did this to give you an idea. There's Abraham. Dakota is New Testament. Brother Clem, Abraham there is Old Testament. Separate? Abraham is not perfect. He's not complete. He doesn't have all that God wants for him. Until.
Come on.
Until Dakota gets the Holy Ghost like the Bible says. And then that's where they link up. And now Abraham is now made perfect because he didn't get the promise, but he did get the promise. Dakota got the promise of the Holy Ghost. So the church... The church of the New Testament makes the Old Testament alive and real and gives every one of our forefathers hope. So heaven, God have mercy. Every time somebody gets the Holy Ghost, Abraham is saying, thank you, son. Every time somebody gets the Holy Ghost, another young lady gets the Holy Ghost, Rebecca is saying, thank you, daughter. Every time they're saying, thank you. Thank you. You're perfecting us by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So here's our connection. We got prophecy to fulfillment finally. John 20:22 said that he had said this. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. This was significant or signifying where the Holy Ghost was to proceed from. They didn't get the Holy Ghost New Testament way, but he was already setting a precedence. He was already putting it into play. He said, You got it? Ghost is from Geist, which is breath or life or breath of life. Genesis 2 and 7 said, God breathed into the nostrils of man and he became a living soul. Oh, somebody, I'm going to tell you, the same Jesus that breathed and that quoted that scripture and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, is the same God that breathed right into the nostrils of man and said, good breathe, and he gave a life. And man became a living soul. I'm going to tell you today that God wants to make your soul alive. He showed them that he was getting ready to breathe into the new man, the breath of a new life. And so now we can understand why Jesus would say to the ruler of Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and of the spirit. I've got to breathe new life into you. And then we go to the next place, Acts chapter 2. We're almost done. Can you hang with me a minute longer?
Come on.
Now we get to this place. It's the outpouring and the receiving of the Holy Ghost. Girls, get ready. Just a minute. Amen. We receive this outpouring and receiving of the Holy Ghost when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were with one accord in one place. Now, that one accord is in unity. Now, I don't know what it all takes to get into one accord. Unless you open up all four doors and open up the hatch and I'll try to squeeze in. That's a bad joke. One accord in one place. I can say today, we're in one place.
That's right.
So we're at least 50% there.
Right.
We're at least halfway there because we're in one place. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Now I want to tie. I want to tie in Father. It was coming from Father, right?
Yeah. Right.
Father. And I told you to think heavenly. And here we are. Then there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now we just tied breath in there. And it filled all the house. That means everybody. And they were all filled. Amen. Verse number 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. It didn't go 1, 2, skip a few, 99, 100.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody.
Yeah. Each of them. And they were, again, do you think there's some significance in this word all? Yeah. Or do you think this is just by happenstance? I believe that there's some significance. And the reason why I believe that is because I think God wanted to make it very, 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 very clear for those people that are sitting on these chairs right now going, well, that's good for them. That's good for her. And that may be good for my husband. That may be good for my wife, but that's not for me. That's not for me. I want to tell you, that's why it said all. Because right. God intended to get it through our head that it is for everybody. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all, it's continuing the same thought. And they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, it is capital S, it is showing possession, it is showing possession there, and so it is God's Spirit, it is not something that you learned.
Right.
No. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the most difficult things that I ever seen in my life that was so hard for me when I was very young, I was about 20 years old, about 20, I walked into a Bible bookstore one day, and I was looking for a music CD, and I left weeping and crying. Because when I went over there to look at a music CD, there was a little room off to the side that had this curtain over it, and it said something like "Session in Progress." And as I walked by there, I didn't think anything of it. I walked by there and I heard somebody say, "Now just say this."
Oh my!
And then I stopped and I backed up and I stood there, and this person was saying, "Now just say, see me tie my tie, see me tie my tie." And so the other person would say, "See me tie my tie, see me tie my tie." I said, okay, that's good. Now say it 5 times real quick. See me tie my tie, see me tie my tie, see me tie my tie, see me tie. You know what? It's all I said is see me tie my tie.
Right.
That's all I said. Okay? But the individual behind the curtain, as that individual began to be tongue-tied with a few phrases, said, "That's it, you got the Holy Ghost."
Whoa. Oh my. Oh
my. And the person said, "That's it?" And she said, "That's it, you just got to practice that." And she said, "That's all I got to do is just practice that, and that's the Holy Ghost." And she said, "That's it, just practice that."
That's great.
I'm going to tell you today that you saying "See Me Tie My Tie" 52 trillion times will never get you full of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because that's what somebody said just to get you tongue-tied and give you a tongue twister. But this power of the Holy Ghost that I'm talking about is the Spirit of Almighty God that comes in like a fresh breath of life. It is something that is beyond the natural man into the supernatural that you know you don't have to say, "Is that it?" You're going to say, "Wow, is that ever something else? I want more of that. That felt so good. That just changed my world." The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it is allowed. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is every one of the Spirit. Sister Amelia, this last Sunday, oh wow. And it was touching you again, and it touched you again, and it touched you again. And I know well enough to know that Sister Amelia is a very shy. She probably wanted to crawl under that chair right now. But I love her, and she's a good lady, and I want to see God do more.
Amen.
But I know because of how shy she is, she would never just dance like that,
right.
Shout like that, do anything of outward expression on her own. And there's some people that you say, "Well, I'm not just that emotional type." Well, guess what? You don't have to be the emotional type. When you get the Holy Ghost, you get emotional.
Amen.
There's something that changes on the inside of you. You may not dance just this way or jump this way or do this or do that, but there is something that is extremely emotional when it comes to this relationship of Jesus Christ, Almighty God,
amen,
coming to live on the inside of you.
Right.
The evidence of it was
God
speaking in other tongues.
Yes.
That simply is, when you dissect it, when you bring it back to its original text, it says in tongues, but they use that word in with a new tongue. They use that terminology, and we would use the same terminology as another language, a heavenly language, one that you cannot interpret or decipher, and that's what makes it supernatural. Natural. I would like to go into some other areas, but I know that I have pushed to my limit, or to your limit, I guess I should say, to your limit. In Acts chapter 10, very quickly, they heard them speak with other tongues and magnify God when they received the Holy Ghost. That was with Cornelius. When they received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 19, are you there? Boom, right there. They received the Holy Ghost. For they spoke. What did they do? Where am I at? Oh, they heard. I'm sorry. Yeah, they heard them speak with tongues. I don't know why that's blank. Maybe I was going to do it as a questionnaire. Yeah. Then the next one is Acts chapter 19. That he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said, "We haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." You may have never heard whether there's a Holy Ghost or not. You may have never heard of anything like I've preached before today. And they said, what were you baptized? And they said, "Unto John's baptism, because John said, there's one coming after me that's mightier than I, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose."
Right.
And he's going to baptize you with the power of the Holy Ghost. He's going to baptize you with fire. He's going to give you something dynamic. Yes. And that very thing happened. Then Paul, John verily baptized unto repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon him, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues. They spake in a heavenly language.
Yes.
I could take you again to another place in Acts chapter 8, where Philip came down and he was preaching the gospel to those in Samaria. And when he was preaching to them in Samaria, miracles happened. Lame men were risen up, and unclean spirits were cast out. The Bible even said that there was great joy in the city when they heard the word of God preached. And they also received the Holy Ghost. And there was such a touch of God. There was such a touch of God in the city of Samaria that a sorcerer, a witch, was watching what was going on. You want to hear this? A witch was watching as the Holy Ghost would set upon each and every individual. A witch was watching this and went up to Philip and said, "Hey, will you take some money to give me that power? Can I buy that power from you?" You know why he did that? Because it wasn't just a repeat after me. Say, you know what happened, Brother Joseph? What happened that day is that witch, that sorcerer, saw something so supernatural that he said, "I want that power." What he was saying, "I want that power of the Holy Ghost more than I want this demonic influence that I have over this city." For the Bible even tells us that sorcerer had become very wealthy and he had bewitched the entire city, brother. Wow. The entire city. But when the gospel...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Woo! Come on.
When the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached, when the Holy Ghost began to be poured out, he said, uh-oh, something mightier than what I've got has come to town. And in his humanistic thinking, he thought he could buy it.
Right.
I'm going to tell you can't buy this Holy Ghost.
Right. Oh.
But you can hunger and thirst after it. Wow, what a price. That's a pretty cheap price. You mean I don't have to get my wallet out? Nope, because it don't matter how much money you put in the offering plate, it ain't never going to save anybody.
Right.
Never heard a preacher say that before. Well, you just did. Count it as your first. Say, well, do I not have to give anymore? Well, once you get the Holy Ghost, you'll understand why we do give.
Yeah.
Because of something, oh God, I could never give back. I could never give something. So I could never pay for something so dynamic.
Hallelujah.
As the Holy Ghost. I want you to stand. When it was all said and done there, Acts chapter 8, they had laid their hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. I want to give you some instruction today. If you are thirsty, or hungry for the Holy Ghost, I want to appeal to you this morning that it be for you. I know that there are traditions, there are things of your past and so on and so forth. I'll never forget. It was several months ago, but Boo-Boo, she got the Holy Ghost. Sister Luciana, it's her mom. She was sitting right about here. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. God touched her with the Holy Ghost. Just like the Bible said.
Now, we know, some of us know, that there is a language barrier with some today. That we've got some Hispanics here, we've got some Marshallese here, that the English language is their second language. And sometimes difficult to understand everything, but we may not understand everything when it comes to language. But when it comes to the power of the Holy Ghost, Sister Tanya, we understand, don't we? She got the Holy Ghost here not too long ago. But we get, there's something that brings us together when we get the Holy Ghost. That though we be from different places, there's a power of the supernatural that happens. Doesn't matter where you're from. We can be from Jamaica. Amen. No problem, man. Huh? Where are you from, Sister Mary? I know you're from the States, but where's your family from? Mexico? We can be all the way from Mexico. But when we get the Holy Ghost, suddenly, we become part of the same culture.
Right.
Part of the same kingdom.
Right.
Though we come from different areas and walks of life and traditions and so on and so forth, there's something about the power of the Holy Ghost.
It goes, whoa, it steps beyond that language barrier. It steps beyond the culture barrier. It steps beyond everything.
Why? Because God Almighty said this is for everyone.
Yes. Yes.
Everyone. Everyone. Would you close your eyes this morning? Would you just lift your hand or hands towards heaven? Come on. Can you, say, well, this feels funny. It feels different. I know that some of you have raised your hands at a soccer game and a basketball game and this game, but we're talking about Almighty God. Can you lift your hand towards Him right now? If you need the Holy Ghost today, God wants to fill you with His Spirit. And I want to tell you today, I don't want you to get all bound up and all tight thinking about what it's going to sound like when God fills you with the Holy Ghost. Don't worry about the tongues. What I want you to think about is magnifying Jesus. I want you to worship Him. Can you start to do that right now? I believe that you're here today, not by accident, it's not by coincidence, but the power of the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit, has drawn you into this place. This is a special time for you. This is a special moment in your life. And you may say, well, I'm shy and I'm reserved. I get all of that. And I'm not going to force you to do anything that you don't want to do. But if you're hungry and you're thirsty for the power of God's Spirit, if you have been wondering why you can't live a certain way, I'm giving you the tool that you need. I'm giving you what you need today. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, everybody. Start lifting up your voice all over this house. Let's start worshiping Him. I need some intercessors right now. I need some intercessors right now to begin to pray. There's some hungry people in this house. There's some thirsty people in this house. You do have those questions. Some of you have even said, how does that preacher know? I don't know anything other than that's what God put on my heart. That's what God's put in my mind. That's God's words that He's put on my lips. I'm telling you today, God wants to lead and to guide you. He wants to bless you and fulfill your life today. Jesus, help us right now. Jesus, help us right now.
we're here in one place, God, as we're gathering together our minds in one accord. God, as we're feeling after your spirit, I pray some Holy Ghost believers, some Holy Ghost filled believers are already on board, and you're praying, and you're praying, and you're seeking God. There's some great needs here today. Come on, let's pray. Let's seek the face of the Lord. I know I've been a little bit of time teaching this morning, but I feel it's necessary. We've got to understand you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, and God wants to submerge somebody here today and fill you with the Holy Ghost. Will you step out of your aisle today, right where you're at, wherever you are, from the front all the way to the back? Would you, if you feel God right now compelling you, pushing you, drawing you, he's drawing you right now. Why? Because he's interested in having a relationship with you. He loves you so much. He loves you so much that he wants to baptize you today with his glory and his power. He wants to give you the miraculous ability to say no to sin. Come on, will you step out of the aisle? Maybe somebody beside you, grab him by the hand and bring him with you. Bring him with you. Hey, this is not an intimidating situation. This doesn't have to be a difficult place. But God wants to move. God wants to touch your life. God wants to bring about a miracle in your life. You say, well, preacher, my family's a mess. My situation is beyond my control. That's what I'm talking about. That's why you need the Holy Ghost today. That's why you need the Spirit of God today. Come on, will you come? Young man, you're on that back pew. And I know God is touching you. I know God is speaking to you. Will you make your way down here to this altar? Will you come? I can't force you. I can't make you. But I'm asking. I'm appealing to you. God loves you. God wants to touch you in a miraculous way. Come on, husband and wife. Grab each other by the hand. Step out of that aisle. Make your way down. Make your way down. Come on. Come on, will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? You say, why do I got to do it there? You don't have to do it here. But if you're hungry and you're thirsty, sometimes stepping out of your comfort zone, sometimes getting away what may be familiar and saying, God, I'm going to make that first step in faith. Come on. Come on, you can do it. 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 God wants to fill you again. God wants to fill you again. God wants to fill you again. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, receive it all over again. Be filled, be filled, be filled, be filled, be filled, be filled, be filled. Come on, do you want it? Come on, do you want it? Come on, do you want it? Come on, make your way. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let your glory, let your power, let the glory of your Spirit, God, touch me once again. Let's pray, pray, pray. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, bless us, fill us, God, fill us, God, miraculously with your glory, with your power. Pray, pray, pray. That's it. That's it. The Holy Ghost is here and it's moving. The Holy Ghost is here and it's moving. Yes, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let your glory. Let your glory.